The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call tonight, toll-free, at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. And also want to make mention, of course, that you can check us out online, our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can find out a little bit more about me and about the program. And you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. That's the main sponsor of our program. And, of course, it's the church that I pastor. I don't just play a pastor on the radio. I am in real life a pastor at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And you can find us in Richfield, Ohio. We are located at 4174 Wheatley Road, and I always remind people that it's in a commercial building. We're in Suite 200, 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, and I just warn people, if you're looking for a building with a steeple, you won't find us. If you're looking for a commercial building and you look for a door and you see our name, that's where we're at, Suite 200 at 4174 Wheatley Road. We're right near where 271 and 77 cross right there, Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road is the corner right where we're at. It's right in that area there. So we'd love to have you come out and visit us sometime. But you can find out more about us at our website, livewithpastoral.com. And I certainly want to encourage you as well to check out some of the other things that I have on there. You can read some articles that we've got on there. My latest article, I'm Offended, is not yet on our webpage, but I hope to get that on there this week. And I try to do an article each month for our church newsletter. And I'm Offended, it takes off from an encounter with a woman who told me she was offended at our hate speech at the Summit County Fair last week, or at the end of July. And so I tried to bring some observations from that. As soon as I get that on there, I'll have that on there. But there's other articles there. I think the most recent one was the smoke of their judgment, and talking about the smoke that we've had from the Canadian wildfires and relating that to smoke in the Bible, reminiscent of God's judgment in certain cases. And so there's a lot more there, and that links to other things with that. Also, you can listen to past programs there. If you're not aware, we have a Friday program, and every Friday at 1:30, and those programs are all available there at livewithpastoral.com. And would like to point out, this past Friday, Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, he has a program right here on AM 1220, The Word, every Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock. I encourage you to listen to him. His program for the cause of Christ is a half-hour program, 1 to 1:30, and then we come on with Live with Pastor Al every Friday afternoon at 1:30, and we go until 2 o'clock. And in addition to that, of course, we have Pastor Andy Rusnacko. He's pastor of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio. He comes on at 2 o'clock, and he's on from 2 until 2:30. So as Pastor Lutz coined the term one time, it's the Baptist trifecta. And but this past Friday, Pastor Lutz and I combined our two programs, and we did an analysis of what happened on the election last week, how we lost, what happened, and then, of course, what we have to do now looking forward to the battle that's ahead in order to fight the radical pro-death on demand abortion issue up until the day of birth. That's what it'll allow. That'll be on the November ballot, as well as recreational marijuana be on the November ballot. So we've got our work cut out for us now. It would have been easier had issue one passed, but it did not. We have to live with the reality of what has happened. And as somebody asked at church at our Bible study last Friday night, they said, well, looks like they cheated and robbed us again. And I said, no, they didn't cheat. They simply outgunned us. They outplayed us. They outmaneuvered us. They had a lot more money than what we had. They started a lot earlier than what we did, for the most part, trying to get their message out there. We were fighting an uphill race on two fronts. One of them, of course, was when you're trying to change the status quo, that's an upward battle. And we were trying to change the status quo and increase the requirement to change the Ohio Constitution from 50% plus one vote to a 60%, which is more of a consensus majority, more sensible majority, I might add, than the bare razor-thin majority that right now could be as little as 50.00001% of the vote. And then the other thing that they had in their advantage is that generally speaking, when somebody's confused on an issue, they'll vote no or not at all. And the media was complicit in this. The media sent out mixed messages purposely. The media outright lied about things. And I'm talking about the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Akron Beacon Journal, Columbus Dispatch, and major cities, and even regional papers. Where I'm at, we get the West Side Leader, and they were putting out articles telling you you should vote no on issue one because, and then they said stuff that was just blatantly wrong. All you had to do was look at the ballot language and know that what they were saying was wrong. And they did it on purpose because they know that if people are confused and unsure, then they'll vote no or not at all. And so that was one of the problems. And then, of course, our side really did not get much media play in terms of advertising and everything until late July, when we should have been advertising prior to the start of open voting. And so basically they outplayed us, they outgunned us, they outfunded us, they outworked us on the ground. They were out there before most of our people were. And then, of course, here's a question for you. We have a governor, Governor DeWine, who has been a reliable, consistent, pro-life vote all his political career. I'll give him that. I might have other problems with him, but I'll give him that. Where was he in the lead-up to issue one? He was absent, strangely absent. In fact, he put out a statement early on saying that he basically supported and endorsed it, and that's about it. But where was he using the bully pulpit that he has as governor of the state of Ohio to get out there? Hey, Frank LaRose, the Secretary of State, he was all over the place. I just heard him yesterday morning over in Medina, and I think he said he'd been like 70-some places across the state, 76 places, something like that, around the state, stumping for issue one. Robert Sprague, the Ohio treasurer, treasurer of the state of Ohio, he was out adamantly telling people, we need to vote for issue one. We've got to pass issue one. But where was the governor? For that matter, where was Lieutenant Governor Husted? Where was he? These are people who are supposed to be pro-life, supposed to support issue one, but they were strangely absent. Well, the Speaker of the House, Jason Stevens, I know where he was in the week of the election. He was on a political junket in Israel with, guess who? One of his prime supporters and one of the people that put him into the speakership, Alison Russo, the House Minority Leader. You heard that? Minority Leader. The Democrat, the leader of the Democrats in the House. The one that orchestrated the deal with him to lead a coup against Derek Marin, who should have been the Speaker of the House. And there she is and him off in Israel together when he should have, by all rights, been here stumping for issue one. Well, I'm not surprised because he really wasn't for it. I still maintain that God turned his heart and he brought it to a vote when he wasn't supposed to. And he probably, after it was all done, was shaking his head going, "What did I just do?" And so he got out of town during the election. He didn't want to be here. And he was off with his best supporters. It wasn't the Republicans in mass that put him in the Speaker's chair, even though the Republicans have a supermajority in the House. It was every single one of the Democrats, along with 22, the minority of the Republicans, that put him in the speakership and stole it from Derek Marins. Elections have consequences, they say, and so we're going to be dealing with those consequences. A lot of prayer and a lot of work ahead. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and I was going to hold off on some of that to a little bit later because we've got callers calling in already, and I want to get John Brown is calling in tonight. He's got an update on some things that are happening, and we'll get to him. We need to move on. And so we'll pick up John Brown. John Brown, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Pastor. Thank you for having me on again.
Hi, good evening. Well, you know, you're one of those people that I wish I didn't have to have on. How's that sound? You know, I've listened to talk radio as long as I can remember there being talk radio, and every once in a while you'll get somebody that they have a regular guest that comes on whenever there's some kind of tragedy or something that takes place, and they say, you know, you're only on when there's bad news. It's like, hey, you're kind of that way. So, but what have you got for us tonight?
Well, you know, there's some prophets in the Bible, you know, Ezekiel and Jeremiah and others that had nothing but bad news.
Oh, absolutely.
Good company.
Yes.
But anyway, Pastor, as you may have heard, the pedophiles up at Near West Theater on the west side of Cleveland are having their quarterly grooming session. And by that, I mean a drag queen story hour. They're having that 2 weeks from yesterday on August 26th. Saturday, August 26th, and of course, we have a group of local bold Christians that feel a burden to go and preach the gospel, warn of God's judgment, and tell them of God's offer of pardon through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And we're extending an invitation to any other bold Christians who wish to stand with us there at our peaceful demonstration.
Well, and, you know, like I said, I wish that we didn't have to do this, but these things just seem to be popping up more and more. If somebody wants to find out more about it, is there anything that they can do?
Yes. Yeah, so we have made a Telegram. Telegram is a social network. It's not quite perfect, but that's what many of us use. If I could give that link out.
Sure.
You can view, I posted the flyer, you can view it on your web browser on your computer phone without installing the app. But if you want to actually connect with us and get more updates, if we have to cancel it for some reason, which we normally won't, but if we have to cancel it, or if we have updates, hey, we have to be this far back or whatever, there's a link to our channel where you can get there. And if you type into your browser, if any listening wants to get ready to write this down, type into your browser t.me/OCA1729. That's t.me/OCA1729. If you have Telegram already installed, you'll open that. It'll open that link in the Telegram app. And you'll see that page. And then there's a link to our actual, that's a temporary group that's not going to be up forever. You will see the information about this event in a couple weeks. But if you actually want to join our actual discussion group or whatever we're starting, that's the way they can get to it. That's t.me/OCA1729. Pastor, if I could give just a little bit more information about
this
event.
Yes.
So we asking people to be in place around 10:40 or so. If you get there at 10:30 and, you know, we're not quite out there yet, just, you know, we must have been caught in traffic or whatever. But just, you know, you could wait for us or, you know, stand out, you know, The idea is the show starts at 11, and some people, and I don't know if they have like multiple sessions or some people bring their children in late or what, but it's the best to get the biggest bang for your buck. It's best if we're out there as the children are being brought into the show. So we can tell the parents that, you know, they're harming their children, tell the children that their parents are leading them to hell, and that, you know, Jesus will always, you know, take them back no matter what their parents do. You know, we have some people who, you know, have, you know, signs and megaphones and other things like that. So again, you know, 10:40, we're usually done around 1. The address is, it's the Near West Theater. You know, of course, we have no intention of setting foot on their property or obstructing their entrance. But we'll be outside the Near West Theater, and that's at 6702 Detroit Avenue in Cleveland. That's 6702 Detroit Avenue. We have signs. You can bring your own. We, Pastor, we really need some able-bodied men. I mean, women are welcome too, but especially some men. The more we have, the greater our impact, the more signs that can be seen. And the safer it is for us. Pastor, I believe the window for us to do this safely and legally is closing. As mm-hmm. you know, Michigan is about to pass a draconian hate speech law that would probably make what we're doing here a felony. Florida has already passed, and supposedly conservative Governor DeSantis has already passed a hate speech law that would probably make what we're doing a felony if it was in Florida. So I believe we need to work before the night is coming, because pretty soon we're going to have to choose between whether or not we're willing to go to jail for just standing there with a sign.
Well,
but right now we can do that without that danger.
Yeah, and it's the song we sing in our church many times, "Work for the night is coming when man works no more," which highlights the idea that the Bible says redeeming the time. Redeeming the time because, you know, well, why? The days are evil, and we only have a certain window of opportunity to do these things. And if we don't take advantage of that, that window is going to close. And I agree with you. We're seeing things. The UN is putting out stuff where they're saying that they need to get religious leaders around the world to change their religious teachings to be inclusive of the whole LGBT plus alphabet soup agenda. And that if you're not, well, you know, freedom of religion is a good thing, but if you don't keep up with the rest of us, you're not allowed to have it.
Yeah, they said we'd be excluded from society if we don't accept pedophilia. I believe I saw that same article. It's pretty frighteningly bold. They have gone completely mask off in the last couple of days.
Yes.
You know, all this, the people say, oh, slippery slope, you crazy, you know, doomsday preachers, tinfoil hat preachers, you know. We hear that for decades, and then guess what? Everything those crazy tinfoil hat preachers have been saying for the last 30, 40 years, every single bit of that has come true, and then some.
Well, and like Paul said in the latter days, he said it would be in perilous times, and we certainly are in perilous times, and that evil men and seducers would wax worse and worse, meaning they would grow more and more bold in their wickedness and their attempts to seduce people over to their viewpoints, and certainly coercion is a part of that, and we're seeing that happen in the world today, and sadly, many of our churches are just rolling over and accepting it. It's a shame, isn't it?
It is a shame, you know. David, when the rest of his brethren, you know, supposed soldiers of God, were quivering in fear and by that blaspheming, you know, Philistine, Goliath, David said, "Hey, brothers, is there not a cause?" 1 Samuel 17:29. Is there not a cause?
Yes.
Why are you mad at me for wanting to go fight this? You know, Moses said to the Israelites who didn't want to cross over Jordan. You know, they said, "Oh, we'll take the east side of the Jordan. This is good enough for us." He said, "Hey, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Are mm-hmm. you going to sit here at ease while your brethren are fighting God, doing God's work?" And, you know, I think, I know there's a lot of people who just physically can't do it, but I think there's an awful lot of men who could be out there with us, and boy, could we use their help. Yeah. To be blunt about it.
And for those people who physically cannot do it, they can certainly pray for your safety and effectiveness.
Yeah, please pray for safety. Please pray for our safety, our physical and legal safety. Obviously, last time, I have to commend the Cleveland Police Department. They did an excellent job of being professional and neutral and just keeping everyone safe with minimal engagements. You know, like I said, I commend the Cleveland Police Department last time. They did a very good job, and pray that they do the same thing there, because if not, these people might put their hands on us. And, you know, we do take some measures to protect ourselves, but we really don't want to go down that road, Pastor. We just want to stand there with our signs, give our peaceful message, and go home at the end of the day, you know, like anybody else. We are not out there to get into fights or, you know, we're not there. We're there to preach the gospel peacefully, warn of God's judgment, and go home. And so please, you know, whether you're coming or not, pray for safety, for impact, and, you know, like I said, for favorable police presence, you know, that they don't give us grief about our banners or our megaphones or any of our other things, you know. And, you know, like I said, if at all, you know, if you can't come, tell someone who can. Like I said, that URL is t.me/OCA1729. We're talking about a gospel demonstration or protest, whatever you want to call it, outside of a drag queen story hour up in West Cleveland. It seems like this is not just a little thing, a flash in the pan. This is getting more and more common. And our administration, if you want to call him that, you know, the president we have, is actually funding these things and providing funding for their security. Like, as if they're attacking them, Pastor, you know, because our people are such violent people, we go in attacking them. Yeah, right. We don't even step foot on their property, but...
Well, you know, and that does bring up an interesting side point. There was some discussion, I believe it was just this past week or perhaps the week before. Remember there was a little while back some protest that the FBI was targeting conservative Catholic churches and some other groups. And they said, well, that was just a memo at one field office somewhere, you know, out there, you know, just an overreaction to something. And they're finding out that it's actually a bit more systemic than just one field office out there. And certainly if they're targeting conservative Catholic churches because of their pro-life stance, what do you think they're doing with churches and people who are taking a stance against these sorts of things as well? And as I don't begin to think that the Catholics are the only ones getting memos written about them by the FBI. We live in dangerous times. People need to pray for you. So, John Brown, thanks again. And give us that time again and that Telegraph page.
Okay. So this is two Saturdays from now, Saturday, August 26th, around 10:30 to 10:40, outside of the Near West Theater in Cleveland. That's 6702 Detroit Avenue on the west side. You can view more information, the whole flyer, if you punch into your web browser, t.me/OCA1729. If you don't have Telegram installed, I encourage you to do so. But if not, you can just click preview channel, and you can see the rest of the information. Pastor, thank you for your time. God bless you for your ministry.
Well, thank you, and God bless you in the work that you're doing. We pray for your safety as well. And as you said, is there not a cause? So thank you so much, John Brown, for calling in and keeping us updated what's happening here in the area.
Okay, thank you, Pastor. Have a nice night.
Thank you, you too. Well, God bless. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we need to be aware of what's happening in the world and in our local community. So, one, we can pray more effectively, and two, we can get involved. Part of being salt and light that the Bible commands us to be as Christians is getting involved in these things, and not everybody's going to be able to go out there to something like this, but... You know, if you got a chance to pray for them, you can do that just as easily. You can do that easily. The other might not be as easy, but this you can pray. And you're still allowed to pray, although, interestingly enough, in Ireland, I don't know if they passed it or it's proposed, they have a law that's going to ban praying in front of abortion clinics in Ireland. Well, over in the UK, they already arrested people for praying silently outside of abortion clinics. And now Ireland, that just recently was a pro-life country. Then they changed and they began allowing abortions, and now they're taking a step further. You're not even allowed to pray outside of an abortion clinic now. That's what they want. And how much longer do we have where we still have the liberty to be able to pray and to do the things that we're doing, to do programs like this? So at any rate, so keep praying and take advantage, redeem the time that we have, that we can do what we can to make a difference in the world around us. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. I know we're coming up on the break here shortly, but let's go ahead and get Nancy on the phone or on the program. She's already on the phone, and if need be, we'll carry over through the break. But Nancy, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call, and good evening to you.
Good evening.
And thank you. My question tonight is about, I would like to have a description of heaven. I found a couple of references, John 14, 2 to 3, of my father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you so. And then also Revelation 21, 2 or 20, I'm not sure. Heaven will have pearly gates and streets of gold. And then in Revelation 22, it said there will be no night. But, you know, I'm more interested in what will the structures be that we're going to live in. They said there were, in my father's house there are many mansions. Does that mean it's going to be apartments?
Well, that's a very good question, and I know we're going to come up on the break here in just a couple of minutes, but in looking at what heaven is and what the Bible tells us about heaven, I think that you started with a good place here, where we read in John chapter 14, Jesus speaking, and let me read this, and we'll have the break come up here, of course, and we'll pick this up after the break, obviously, because we're not going to be able to talk about this in 2.5 minutes. So, but he said in John chapter 14, starting at verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And of course, where Jesus went to is heaven, because when Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives, there in the book of Acts chapter 1, he ascended up into the sky. A cloud received him out of their sight. Now, there's a lot of misconceptions about what heaven is, and there's a lot of parts of the Bible talks about things that people mistakenly apply to heaven, and so we'll try to sort through a couple of those things. We'll get a start on it right here. But when Jesus, I'm sorry. I thought you said something else. But so when Jesus ascended up into heaven, there's one thing that we can realize pretty quickly. We see instances throughout the Old Testament and even in the New Testament that indicates that heaven is not so far away. A lot of people have this idea, and there's even an old gospel song, you know, along the lines of "Somewhere Beyond the Starry Blue," and we get this idea that heaven is someplace, you know, way beyond the realms of our physical universe. Well, that's not what you see in the Bible. What you see in the Bible is that heaven exists, for lack of a better term, we could call it almost a parallel dimension, but I prefer to look at it this way. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible gives us an indication of what God did. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth," okay? Now, I believe that what he's talking about when he says the heaven and the earth there is the spiritual realm and the physical realm. So the first thing that we know about heaven is it's a spiritual realm. I know the break is coming up on us, and I don't have time to get into all the details for why I believe that this is a spiritual realm. We see the physical heavens created later in the creation week. The Bible indicates three heavens. Paul talked about being caught up to the third heaven. That would be the spiritual realm. The first heaven would be the atmosphere around us where the birds fly, and the second would be space. So stay tuned. We'll get into heaven here when we come back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you'd like to know more about us, let me encourage you to check us out online. You can find us at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And from there, you can link over to our church's page, and that's for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. You can learn more about that. But also, they're our main sponsor. We're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. If you're over on the east side, hey, if you're on the west side, it's well worth the drive. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, you can find them at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road. They're right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. So even though they're kind of behind a barbershop, sort of, but if you can, the school's easy to find. And if you see the Garfield Heights High School, or you're right across the street from East Coast Pizza, and you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. 941-9100. Let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. And I could go over there again sometime myself. I haven't had one of their pizzas for a while. I think they got one of the best pizzas in the area. East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. Call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. All right, we're going to get back to our program, and we were talking with Nancy about heaven. And she wanted to know what the Bible has to say about heaven. And I mentioned before going into the break that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When you look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it doesn't say God created the heavens and the earth. It says the heaven and the earth. And I believe that's a reference to the spiritual realm, which is heaven, and the earth, which is the totality of the physical realm at that time was the earth and the immediate area around it. Later on in the creation week, more is done with the earth. And the Bible talks about the sons of God singing God's praises and all when he lays the foundations of the earth. And so that would indicate that the spiritual realm was created first and then the earth, but it all happened there on that first day. And the angels would have been created at that time, and they lived in that spiritual realm. The spiritual realm exists alongside of the physical realm. And in the scriptures, there's phrases such as the windows of heaven being open, and people on the earth looking into the sky where the clouds are and seeing into heaven. And there's cases Ezekiel saw that for one thing. And certainly John on the Isle of Patmos saw that he was caught up into heaven, in Revelation chapter 4. So we see this idea that heaven is not somewhere beyond the starry blue, but it's existing like a parallel dimension, a spiritual realm existing alongside of the physical realm. And there's crossovers between the two. Typically, the crossover has been in the clouds. And when Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives up into the air, he didn't dwindle away until he couldn't see him anymore. He went into the clouds and he was gone. When the rapture, the catching away of the believers takes place, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the Lord himself shall, in verse 16, Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Here it is again, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, where did he go? John chapter 14 that Nancy brought up said that he was going to his Father's house where there were many mansions, and that one day we would be there with him. Well, that's heaven. That's the spiritual realm. And he's preparing a place for us there, which then leads to one of the biggest misconceptions about heaven, and that is found in the book of Revelation here, as I get turned over there. In Revelation chapter 21, we see a new heaven and a new earth. And this is following the tribulation period. This is following the millennial reign of Christ. There's a new heaven and a new earth, he says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And then he says this in verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, let me pause here for a minute. John sees the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. The New Jerusalem and the description of the New Jerusalem with the pearly gates and the streets of gold and all that, that's not heaven. That's the New Jerusalem that Jesus right now, when he said in John 14, is preparing a place for us. It is in heaven right now being prepared for the bride of Christ, the believers during this age of grace. And one day it will come out of heaven to the earth, it'll pass from the spiritual realm into the physical realm. And so we don't know exactly all the details on heaven, but some of the best descriptions of the details on heaven can be found in various parts of Scripture, such as Revelation chapter 4, where John is caught up into heaven. And he gives us this description because literally where he's at is kind of in the gates of heaven, not wandering around heaven properly, but he's kind of in the gates. And here's what I mean. In the old days, in the Bible times, cities had a gate. And the gate wasn't just a gate that was open or closed. The gate actually had like a room. And you would have, gates like we would normally think of at both sides of the room, the outside of the city to the inside of the city. And they would open the gates to this area, and the whole area was called the gates of the city, and people would come in and they would conduct business and transactions inside of that area between the inner and the outer gates. Oftentimes, magistrates would hold court there. And remember the book of Ruth, a great story. I mean, if somebody wants to read a great human interest story, read the book of Ruth. When Boaz realizes that he can be the kinsman redeemer for his relative's widowed wife, which is Ruth, realizes that, oh, wait a minute, there is one more relative that's closer than I am. And so he went to the gates of the city. They went into that room where he could negotiate a solution to that, to give his relative the opportunity to be the kinsman redeemer, which meant taking Ruth as his wife or not. And they went and they reached a decision and made a judgment there in the gates of the city. So this is an important area. This is the area that we see John caught up into, where he gives this description of what we sometimes call the throne room of God, where God is on the throne and the four angelic beings are circling around the throne crying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Ezekiel sees this as well in his opportunity to see into heaven. He gives his description like a sea of glass in front of them, like a big dais, it just looks like a sea, calm waters like glass. Only the in Ezekiel they were kind of green, I think it was, if I remember correctly. And here in Revelation 4, John says in verse 3 of where God is sitting on the throne, it says, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." And then he talks about the 24 elders around the throne and all this description. This is heaven, but it's the entryway to heaven. This is the area that Satan has access to right now. In the book of Job, Satan comes before God in this area. He's not wandering around heaven doing what he wants. He has access to this area where he accuses us before God of violating God's laws. And that's why over in 1 John chapter 2, it talks about we have an advocate with the Father. And of course, that's Jesus Christ. And when the devil, not just Satan himself, but the other fallen angels, because Satan probably doesn't mess with you and me, but other ones do, and they go to God and they say, "Here's this person supposed to be your servant, and they broke your law. Doesn't your law say that if somebody tells a lie or somebody does this or that or whatever, that the wages of sin is death? I demand death." Mm-hmm. And Jesus stands up and says, "Wait a minute, I'm the advocate. See the blood on the altar? I died for that sin. I paid the debt. There's the blood." And God the Father says, "Dismissed." and so that's what we have with heaven right now. And people who die right now, their soul and spirit are going into heaven, and they're there. We don't know all of what they have available to them when they're there, but we do know that Jesus is preparing a place for us. And that place that he's preparing one day will come to the earth in Revelation chapter 20. It comes down from heaven to the earth. And I personally believe that this city, the New Jerusalem, will not land on the earth, but rather be in a orbit over the earth, probably a geosynchronous orbit. Because the Bible talks about nations of the earth in eternity future, walking in the light of it and coming into it and visiting it and the gates of it not being closed. And of course, God will be there in that city. And I kind of think from my description that I see in the Bible that it'll also provide the entryway into the spiritual heaven. So you will have an access to the physical realm, the earth and the stars, the universe and all that, in eternity in the future. And you'll have access to the spiritual realm where the angels dwell. And so the people who are in heaven right now will be dwelling in the spiritual realm. And that's one of the misconceptions about heaven. There's nothing in the Bible that says that we're going to live forever in heaven with the Lord. It says it will be forever with him. Well, he's going to fill the spiritual realm and the new spiritual realm. If people doubt that or question that, just simply read Revelation 21 and 22. How are there going to be nations on the earth if everybody's living in the spiritual realm? They're on the earth during eternity in the future. And the place that has no darkness in it is the New Jerusalem. There's no need of the sun to lighten it because God himself is there. Now, I'm assuming, of course, that heaven itself, the spiritual realm, is always lit because God's presence is there as well. So in actuality, heaven is only half of the equation. For all eternity, if people know Christ as their Savior, we're going to spend our residence in the physical realm for all eternity, but we'll have access to the spiritual realm for all eternity. The angelic beings that have not fallen, the holy angels, they'll live in the spiritual realm for all eternity, but they'll have access to the physical realm for all eternity. And then, of course, the other thing that will be there is the lake of fire for all eternity as a stark witness as to what the consequences of sin is. And the human beings and the angelic beings that rejected God that populate the lake of fire will dwell there for all eternity. So that's basically what we have. So heaven is going to be a wondrous place. There's just a lot about it in the Bible, but for as much as there is, we don't see a whole lot about exactly what we're going to do there, except that we know it's going to be fulfilling. And certainly the whole physical realm to explore, the whole spiritual realm to explore for all eternity, God's going to keep us busy. I forget who it was that, I think it was Robert Jeffers, had a book out on heaven, and he said, I kind of think that people will be doing in heaven much what they're doing on earth. And when he said that, I nudged my wife and said, what's that do for you? She's a hospice nurse. So I don't think she's going to be a hospice nurse for all eternity. And of course, there's not going to be a whole lot of use or need for medical personnel for all eternity when you have a body that doesn't age or decay or die or get sick or anything like that. So not everybody's going to be doing what they're doing here on earth. Heaven is a very interesting topic in the scriptures. And for as much as the Bible says about it, it just gives us a glimpse. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither's entered into the heart of man the things which God's prepared for them that love him. The Bible says we now see through a glass darkly. You know, if you look through a dirty window and you're trying to see what's on the other side, you can only just make it out. And that one day we'll see clearly. So all we can do is get a taste. Paul said when he was caught up into heaven, he saw things which were not lawful to talk about. I don't think it was because it was against the law. I think it was against physical laws. He could not physically form words and sentences and illustrate to us everything that he saw. We just can't comprehend it in our current state. So it's going to be an exciting, wondrous place. And of course, the key is, do you know Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you confessed your sin to him? Have you put your faith in him and believed on him, as the Bible says? You know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are you going to call on somebody you haven't believed in? And how are you going to believe in somebody you haven't heard about? And so that's why we do this program. That's why we have our church services, to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, because we want people to be in heaven. We want them to be there for all eternity. Whether they ever come to our church or not is immaterial. We want them to be in heaven. And We got to share the gospel in order for that to happen. So hope that helps you out there a little bit, Nancy.
Oh, thank you. Excellent. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Well, I appreciate that, and you can't ask for a better subject to talk about, I guess, than heaven. And thank you. God bless, Nancy. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Terry calling in now. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening.
All right, good evening. Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. It's just interesting because I've been in Genesis, reading Genesis, because the church is studying Genesis.
Uh-huh.
They said they're going to go through all, from Genesis to Revelations, but hopefully they go back and forth.
Yeah, I like preaching through books of the Bible, and I've preached through the book of Genesis, and I've preached through the book of Revelation, but I didn't do Genesis all the way through Revelation. I kind of jump around a little bit. Currently, I'm preaching through the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings at our church, and in the book of Proverbs on Sunday night. Now, before the Gospel of John, I was preaching in 1st and 2nd Peter. And then from there, I backed up to the Gospels. I had preached through, I think, 1st and 2nd Timothy, I did 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus. Then I did 1st and 2nd Peter. Then I've jumped back to John, and not sure where I'll go from there, but I'm only in John chapter 5, so I got plenty of time to decide on that.
Beautiful chapter.
Yes, and there is, you know, John chapter 5, and one of the reasons I like preaching through books of the Bible is that it forces me to consider all of what the Scripture says rather than just picking out my favorite parts and kind of not looking at the parts that I'm not as thrilled to look at. And I'm also learning so much more myself going through this. I mean, the Gospel of John, Jesus makes the case for him being God manifested in the flesh in undeniable terms. You miss it when you first read through it, at least I have, but as I've been forced to go through it slowly, you can see how Jesus is very much making a case for himself being God the Son, deity in human flesh.
100% God and 100% man.
Exactly. And I just preached this morning on John 5, let's see here, verses 32, verses 30 through 38, and it's really interesting without preaching the whole message here. Jesus basically says that there's a witness that he has that's greater than John. And remember, the Bible says things be certified out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, to prove something. And so there was the witness of John, and that was a great witness. But he says there's something better. He said the works that he did. And elsewhere in Scripture, he tells them, if you're having trouble believing what I'm saying to you, look at the things that I'm doing. Look at the works that I'm doing. In fact, I believe it's in John chapter 20, he talks about the things that John is writing, and he's talking about the things that Jesus has done. And he says, these things were written. He didn't write all everything that happened, but he said, these things were written that you could know and that you could be saved. I should actually look that up. I'm just sort of rambling talking about that. Let me just turn over there because it's a great verse.
I was going to say there's three witnesses of Jesus, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes, and these three, the Bible says, are one. Let's see here, John chapter 20 and verse number 30. Oh, let's see, where am I at? I can't see, even read in this light here right now. John chapter... Oh, I can't even read my own notes. I don't know how I preached this morning. It's late in the day. Let's see. John chapter 20. Let's take a look there. It's John chapter 20. That's where it's at. I don't know why I was reading this wrong. Verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. He's saying the things that Jesus did that are recorded in the Scripture, it's there so that we can believe. And then here's another witness that Jesus gives here in John chapter 5, verses 30 through 38. He says it's the Father himself that bore testimony. You remember when Jesus was baptized? And John lowered Jesus down into the water. And as he came up out of the water, what did we hear from heaven? The voice of God the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son." Not son in the offspring sense, but son as in this is God the Son. And then remember when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with, I think it was Peter, James, and John, and in Matthew chapter 17, where he talks about that, and Peter recounts the situation, the occurrence in his writings later on. And what do we hear as Jesus is there, as he's transfigured before them? We hear the voice of God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So here's the witness for Christ. There's the witness of John the Baptist, which was in accordance with the scriptures. There's the witness of the works that Jesus did, which the people in his day could see, and we today read about in his word, where they're recorded so that we can believe. And there's the witness of God the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son." And so there's three witnesses right there. And then, like you pointed out, where you said there are three, you know, the three that bear record, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. We see that over in 1 John. I know we're quickly coming up on in the hour here, but here, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. If somebody's listening and your Bible doesn't have this, you need to get a King James Bible, because I actually wrote an article that's on our website, livewithpastoral.com, defending 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 in the King James Bible, where it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Not one in committee or goals, but one as in one and the same God. And there are three that bear record in heaven. They bear record, meaning they give witness to the fact of who Jesus is and what he did. It's the Father, God the Father. It's the Word, that's God the Son. And the Holy Ghost, that's God the Holy the Holy Spirit. That's the Godhead right there, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And these three are one.
Right. And it's hard to think, you know, it's hard to comprehend that in our way, our only old way of thinking.
Yeah.
We need to believe it.
Yes.
To understand it.
Yeah. And it is it's a thought, and you know, but it's such a strong statement talking about the three that bear record in heaven that the devil has attacked this, because how do you tarnish something? You tear down the witnesses, don't you? And they've tried to call this a spurious verse, but it's not. I missed what you said there.
Well, I was going to say that's one reason why I brought up, I was going to bring up saying what he's up to. He's up to twists and turns, which things.
Well, if you'll hold, we're gonna take a break here. If you'll hold, we'll pick you up on the other side of the break. So stay tuned. Okay. We got another hour to go.
Recently, the British crown passed from Queen Elizabeth to King Charles. America has no monarchy. We have a constitutional republic. Our sovereign is we the people. President Reagan said in 1983, "The founding fathers understood that only by making government the servant, not the master, only by positing sovereignty in the people and not the state, can we hope to protect freedom." But who advises the sovereign? President Coolidge answered in 1926, "The principles of human relationship, which went into the Declaration of Independence, are found in the texts, the sermons, and the writings of the early colonial clergy who were earnestly undertaking to instruct their congregations in the great mystery of how to live. Today's pastors should follow the example of their colonial forefathers, reminding us that God is the highest power and government officials are the lesser. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. Let's make government subject unto the higher powers again.